This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Simpson will inbound under his own basket. Pinedo pressures the ball. He throws a baseball right-hand pass, arcing toward the far free throw line. It's loose under the basket. Laid up and in by Knox. 7/10 of a second to go. Amari Knox gives Alabama State the lead, 70-68.
That is True TV with the call as Alabama State already starting the madness, 70-68 over St. Francis. I don't get into the 16s. As much, I was all in on the Carolina-San Diego State game and the Texas-Xavier game tonight. But we know where Sean will be tonight.
American
University and Mount St. Mary's. The battle for Middle Maryland.
The battle to face Kevin Hagelin's Duke Blue Devils.
That's right. That's right. You guys won't even talk on Friday.
It'll be like the first 5 years here at the Fan.
Absolutely. There you go. So Alabama State moves on. They move on to the big boy tournament. And then in the nightcap, boy, I'll tell you, Bubba Cunningham has to be the happiest man in the world because North Carolina absolutely put it to San Diego State. They win 95-68. They almost won by 30 points.
My first ESPN bracket's already messed up because I picked San Diego State to win the... they didn't give me the option of picking the playing game. They just had who the projected winner was.
So what happens if, like, you had picked... You put San Diego State to move on.
Then you just change it.
Okay, you can just change it.
Yeah, these games don't count for your bracket. You have until Thursday morning, whatever time you know your league, your pool decides to make the cutoff. You have until then to make any changes that you want. So, I've already made changes. Like I thought I left it blank. The Ole Miss, Carolina, San Diego State game. I left it blank, and I'll probably put Carolina into advance.
Okay.
The committee really, you know, that they're probably pretty happy. They want Carolina to win at least another game.
Yes.
You know, it may not like perfectly absolve them, but it makes it they can at least point to it and say, you know, they did advance, guys. You know, whether or not our process was right, they did advance.
Yes.
So that's how that looks. But let me figure out and help you set up the next 48 hours of your life. Starting tomorrow.
And a lot of Tolos yesterday requesting Choppy the podcast of his NCAA tips, asking you to tweet it. You did a nice little breakdown as well that I'll retweet right now. So a lot of Tolos are listening and knowing that that can help them win. Yeah.
And maybe I'll do more in depth. Like maybe I can do like one of these notes apps and a more in depth version, just rewrite this sheet. Online.
There you go.
You know, maybe I can do something like that.
A little cheat sheet.
Yeah, a little cheat sheet action for you. All right, so I'm going to help you plan your day on Thursday and Friday. So some of the tourney games are going to stink. You want to be able to get out of work without using a day off, right? So I'm going to avoid the 116 and the 215 matchups. All right, so I'm just going to say, you know, if those are on, go back to work. You don't need to see those. So on Thursday, I'm going to recommend you get to work a tick early. If you normally arrive at 8, just get there a little bit early at 7 a.m. The boss walks in. They see you're already there. You know, you're already in good standing. You take an early lunch, all right? You leave. You leave at noon, all right? You miss the first half, and you take a regular one-hour lunch and watch the end of Creighton-Louisville, okay? That's the first game of the dance. So you watch that from noon to 1. You come back to work at 1 o'clock. You kind of work for 2 hours. Then you leave at 3. You've put in a 7-to-3 day.
Oh. All right. So I can just choose at my job whether I want to do a 9-to-5 or 7-to-3?
If you have the punch time card, maybe not. But if you're like in an office, like, yeah. You know, I mean, what? Spittle got here, what? He gets here a little later and then he leaves later, right?
Yes.
That's like 8-to-5, right?
Yes,
you're
yes.
putting in your hours of days. So you head home and you're in home in time to watch VCU versus BYU, which is an 11-to-6. And then the rest of the day is yours. Now.
Like it.
Friday, you do the same thing. You arrive a little early, but this time you take lunch at 11 because it's Baylor and Mississippi State. And you take a 2-hour lunch and you return to work at 1. Then you work again for a little bit. You make a point to go into the boss's office to show your face.
I can only tell you that this could come from the mind of RJ yeah. Choppy. This is so intricate and detailed on how to take the shortcuts.
You show your face. You show that you've returned to work, that you're here. It's 1:30. You look a little annoyed. You have to look a little annoyed with some people. You got to complain about a coworker.
They're not working as hard as me.
Whatever.
They don't care as much.
But by showing your face, you've bought a little time. And here's the slide part. You need to go into your attic. You need to find an old backpack or an old briefcase.
Okay.
Stuff it with crap, papers, whatever. Make it look like it's full. Put some pens in the side.
It's like we're like smuggling heroin in the airport.
Yeah, basically.
You leave it at your desk. It's Friday. You don't care about it. If the cleaning people take it, if somebody steals it, whatever. But you go see your boss around 1:30, and at about 2:15, you leave that at your desk so it looks like you're still there, but you're just taking care of something else inside the office. And, you know, maybe the boss has come to you, whatever. But a little bit of a risk. If he comes by, he assumes you're taking care of something else, and he missed you.
Yeah.
That's it. They missed you, and you're gone. You're gone for the day, and you're watching the next game. But you got to have an old backpack or suitcase or, I'm sorry, briefcase.
So, you know, we talk about best laid plans and how sometimes a wrench can be thrown in those things. So can I throw a scenario at you that then you're going to tell me how are we supposed to react to that?
Sure.
Okay, so if you've got these lunches ending at 1 o'clock, that means that you're going to have people leaving as we're in the last 5 minutes on Thursday, probably, of High Point and Purdue and Bama and Robert Morris on Friday, which are not supposed to be great games. But if you've got an upset special brewing, now you're potentially extending your lunch and getting in trouble. What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to just miss the end of the game? Or are you supposed to scramble and come up with some excuse why you were late?
This is easy. You're right up my alley, okay?
Child's play, Bobby.
Yeah, child's play. Take one of your keys, you go to your tire, and you deflate the tire.
Okay. There was a Tesla in the parking lot, you're about to say.
And then you just deflate the tire. You're not popping it, you're just deflating it, okay? Yep. Take a picture, send it in. Uh-oh, look what happened here. And then now what you do is you bought yourself a little bit extra time because, maybe you got to change the tire, tow truck, you know, whatever. Whatever you want to do, like if you can't change a tire, if you can, you bought yourself 30 minutes.
That's why before Peyton got Unethical Life Hacks canceled, that was one of the life hacks. They said the next time you have a flat tire, just take a picture of it and save it for the future whenever you need to send it off.
College basketball kegger with Ralph James Choppy on 105.3 The Fan.
As if UTA didn't need any more regret about letting Scott Cross leave and go to Troy, this gives it to them. He has whittled it down. He really has. He asks recruits now, because he's at Troy and they're in the tournament, do you like Waffle House or not? Because it's the only restaurant apparently they have in their town where his school is. And he said that we do not get any recruits to come to school here who don't like Waffle House.
Wow.
If that's it. That's it. And he's turned into a fantastic coach. He was a great coach at UTA. They never should have got rid of him. It was one of the dumbest decisions ever. And now Troy is the benefactor for it. College kegger on 105 through the fan. Mark Pope is the head coach of Kentucky. Mark is in a little bit of trouble right now. Financial. Mark decided that it was a great idea to go on.
By the way, how did it work out first year replacing Calipari and then Calipari at Arkansas?
Kentucky's had a great year. They really have. They've had some injuries. They got two guys that are hurt right now.
Two guys.
And Arkansas plays Kansas tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. So you get a chance at a Cal Patino game. But either way, you have Coach Cal versus Bill Self in the first round. That's a pretty big matchup. I think this is Kansas's lowest seed ever, I think I saw. But Mark Pope is in some financial trouble. He went on his coach's show, and I don't think he thinks anybody is listening, and he made this comment about what he is willing to do for people.
Now, I'm going to say something I'm going to regret, but it's only a 7-hour drive. If anybody's having trouble with gas money, hit me up. Let's go. Let's get all BBN out there. I'm not going to tell you how to hit me up because I'm nervous about how many people are about to hit me up.
So he said this.
He's going to pay for gas money.
He's going to pay for gas money. Within like 30 minutes, they're still on the same show. He got a note from his assistant. We got a problem.
How did they find the assistant? Oh, I'm sorry. This is the second clip.
Yep. That was not a good call on my part. My executive assistant just handed me a phone, and there's a whole slew of emails coming to the office. Oh. Hi, I'm Jack. I won't say the last name, and a student here at UK. I'm in Florida currently for spring break, so I got to pay for gas from Florida all the way to Milwaukee. Oh. But I get back early Friday morning. If you could throw me some gas money or a ticket. It just went from gas money to a ticket. Mm. I drive myself and my girlfriend up to Milwaukee to catch her first tournament game. All right. Listen, Jack, here's the deal. I'm going to try and hit you back, man. I'm going to do my best. Okay.
Mm. Pull a Chris Russo and don't do it. Be a little spineless coward.
Oh, yeah. And just right. He wouldn't pay off the bet.
Don't follow through with your bet like Russo.
Man.
What do you do then? Do you find, I mean, you're kicking out $50 per person if you follow through with it?
Yeah.
I mean, let's say there's 200 emails, 150, 200 emails.
How much money is that, Bobby?
It's $10,000.
$10,000. I mean, he's probably in the $5 million buck a year range.
Yeah.
You know, that's doable.
Okay. $50?
That's doable. That's like forking over maybe $100 if you're a regular person. You know, you could do that.
You said it.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You said it. We also do college football on the kegger. And remember last year I told you the college football players got $600 each to be in the NCAA football video game.
Mm-hmm.
Arch Manning was like the last one to opt in.
Still waiting for my godson to send me a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. Well, they have upped it. They have almost tripled it. It is now up to $1,500 per player. So they obviously made a ton of money on the first year. And I got to say, it was well-deserved. That was a really fun game. I watched my kids play it all the time. And I thought that they thought the playability, they liked it better than Madden. They also liked that, you know, you could do more of a from the, you know, grassroots, from the youth level. You know, my kid's playing MLB The Show right now.
Well,
and you could start in high school as a kid in the video game and create a college player, then create, you know, that player becomes, you know, a Major League Baseball player. And they had something similar with the NCAA football game. It was really, really cool. But this is great news. They obviously sold a lot of games.
$1,500, that's fair. Last year's payment was too low. $600 is enough. $1,500, I feel like if you're turning out $1,500, you're like, I'm holding out for like five. All right, well, now you're the new generation of Ed O'Bannon, and you need to go away.
A little embarrassing on the $600. $1,500, I think, is very good. And then finally, Deion Sanders says he wants to do something that NFL teams do and that college teams never do. So we've already seen a couple of teams, I think Texas included, is getting rid of the spring game.
Yep.
Deion is like, no, we're still going to do that, but we're going to do it a little differently. He was talking about having other schools come in and practice against them. And I think it's a great idea for the bigger, more marketable school or the coach. The hardest thing to me about getting a player in the portal is you don't know what their practice habits are like. You don't know what they're like as kids. And then this is a way for Deion to get 100 kids to come to school there so he can get a look at their practice habits and then offer them,
steal them
transfers. Like, if I was the coach, like Fran Brown at Syracuse already said, hey, Deion, we're in. Dude, Fran, you don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah, it's like taking your girl to a black tie event. Will Chambers could be in that course. Somebody with money.
Yep.
Be like, oh, who's that over there?
Yeah. Gosh. This is Robert Redford and Woody Harrelson and Demi Moore.
And if they lose that spring game, if Fran Brown takes part in that, then he's not allowed to shower till the next season starts.
Right.
Because he's winners get washed.
Winners get washed. There's your college kegger.
College kegger here on DFW Sports Station 105.3. The Fan, Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt. We have some developing news on the Aaron Rodgers quarterback situation. And what are the Cowboys still missing? Commercial-free expressway with a PBR ticket giveaway is next. We are commercial free. We're going to hook you up with a PBR ticket giveaway. Calvin Watkins getting things stirred up in the Metroplex yesterday with his article, Dallas Morning News, that the Cowboys have a Micah Parsons problem, talking about Micah not attending all the practices, maybe not being as detailed, and the podcast saga as well. And we'll see what he thinks of the rumors late yesterday that a deal was about to get done, even though Bobby Belt, Jane Slater doing their homework and saying, what, Bob?
Not close right now, doesn't sound like. It does not sound like they are on the verge of anything at the moment.
So Calvin will join us at 8 this morning here on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys.
Is not close more likely the fact that they're far apart in money, or they just really haven't even talked?
I think they've had introductory discussions and they've kind of got an idea of where everybody is, but I don't think they've drilled down on anything yet.
If you take what Micah's brother Terrence was talking about yesterday, this is how I would guess. This is just, if you're forcing me to take what he said as fact, Micah and his side have let it be known, yo, we can be in the Chase range. We can be in the Jamar Chase range around 40, but we have to talk and work out all the other things that are going to make us truly happy since we're giving you a little bit of a break. Because Micah's brother said, hey, Micah's true to his word. He was true to his word. Was. Past tense, like already done.
Yep.
So maybe the signal has been given. You know, we could be around the Chase level, but they haven't truly gotten into the intricate details of the negotiation in terms of guaranteed money and all the other hoopla things that look good.
And a lot of times these negotiations, motivation, or is either side motivated to sign today?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, Micah just continue to wait?
Yeah, Dallas should be motivated right now.
They should be. Micah, we know they're not.
Yeah, on Micah's front.
We know
front,
they don't operate that way.
On Micah's front, I would think that there's some level of interest in it because you've already seen some dominoes fall. So, and look, I mean, his representation has shown consistently they don't need dominoes to fall to be able to just shoot over the top of the market.
Yeah, they just showed in the last week.
Yeah,
and if you're Micah, like if I'm Micah and I'm looking at the way the market's going and the way everything is flipping and one up, and I don't want a 4-year deal. Give me a 3-year deal. Get me back to the negotiated table faster.
Yeah.
Unless he doesn't want to play that long.
Right, unless he wants to play 4 more years.
Yeah.
You know, they take you 4 years.
All right, let's take you inside the Star in your official home of the Cowboys. What are they still missing?
Yeah, this is over at The Athletic. This was Saad Youssef taking a look at the various position groups that they have and where they're at after the first week of free agency. And he's got it termed as their need level of low, moderate, or high. There's a lot of highs left on this list. let's go down the list here. Quarterback first. The need level, moderate. They say unlike last offseason, there are no questions lingering about the starter. Dak Prescott secured the big contract. The backup spot is a different story. Cooper Rush has left for the Ravens.
I mean, there are questions lingering about the starter, though.
Yeah, just for like need level, though. Like, you know you've got your starting quarterback. He's
like,
there.
I would argue now the backup, and I understand what they did, right? They're not going to pay a ton of money for a backup when you paid 60 to your starter. Yeah. But I could argue very easily the importance level of the backup quarterback now way higher than over the past 3 years when you had a nice solid option in Cooper Rush because of Dak's health.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And right now they don't have Cooper Rush. Trey Lance is not returning, but he has found a chilly market, it appears. So right now you've got Will Greer on the practice squad or signed to a futures contract, and Dak, and that's about it. The Cowboys have already said they're going to either draft a quarterback or acquire one. They've still got to add to that position. So a moderate need there. Fair?
Fair.
Yeah. They'll draft somebody, like you said, or they'll get a Beathard or a Dobbs or, you know, somebody out there that's been Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater. Isn't he coaching high school now?
Yeah.
Running back. The need level is high. Even after signing two veteran free agents, they have it listed as high. They say, with all due respect to Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders, the Cowboys have done nothing to address the running back one spot. Williams and Sanders can join the committee to compete for the number two job, but if the Cowboys are to have any success in the ground game in 25, their leading rusher most likely is not on the roster yet.
Agreed.
Tight end. Need level. What do we put the tight end need level like? Because Schoonmaker is not developed yet, and Jake Ferguson was not as good last year as he needed to be.
It's a little less than moderate. I'm going to give Ferg another chance. I'm going to give him another year.
So if we're on like the stove and it's got like the one is low and the five is medium, you're putting it like a three?
Like a three.
Okay, and that's fair. He's got it listed as low because they do have Schoonmaker. They've got Jake Ferguson, and they're hopefully going to have John Stevens rehabbing again from that ACL tear. They liked Brevin Spanford as a blocker last year, so that's not really a position where they feel like they've got anything they have to add there.
I think it's low from a body standpoint.
Well, yeah, because you got Schoon.
Because you got a bunch of bodies. Like, it's low. But is it an elite unit? By no stretch is it an elite unit.
No.
No, but it could definitely be a good unit depending on how they bounce back. Wide receiver. Need level, high. Hi, Gene.
And hi, Gene.
This is one where, to me, this is right now, I know some people have talked about corner and some various things. This, to me, this is number one. Most pressing over running back, over corner, over everything else. Right now, you have to fix this. You have to add another. You cannot roll into next season as Jalen Tolbert's your number two receiver.
Right.
That's not going
to
work.
If anything happens to CeeDee Lamb, this whole thing is over. Period. Yeah. Unless you're going to go get Genty, unless you're going to get a running back that can bail you out, but they'd still collapse the box because of no worry about a receiver. If anything happens to CeeDee Lamb, he is right next to Dak Prescott as the person they cannot afford to lose. It's done. Shut down.
Mm-hmm. They had a chance to address this with Cooper Kupp. They did not get involved, or dependent. Their level of involvement is not clear. Adam Schefter yesterday did comment and said that apparently Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb placed phone calls.
Yeah, Schefter, quote, last Thursday, the Cowboys reached out to Kupp and they were interested. Dak and Lamb were on the phone talking to him about the idea. It was floated. And then the Cowboys heard the numbers, and they were at numbers the Cowboys were not going to get to.
That's the story of their life. Offensive line. This one's interesting because I think
they're just generalizing the whole O-line.
Yeah. I think if you ask people about the offensive line, I think there's varying answers. Like, this is one I think fans would be split on depending on how much they think this is actually a need right now. I'd say
high.
You think it's a high need?
I think they need multiple positions.
Offensive line, where would you put that?
Moderate to 6.5 on the stove.
So they've got it listed as moderate right now. Obviously, you've got, I mean, Brock Hoffman played well at guard last year, stepping in for Zach Martin. So you would expect Tyler Guyton would take a step up. I think they all anticipate that Terrence Steele's going to be better now. I think a lot of people felt like Mike Solari stunted his growth and didn't really do much to help him at all. But they said that, like the tight ends, the need level for more than what they got in 2024 is actually pretty high, but the Cowboys are going to be relying on a lot of in-house players for those improvements.
What's the cover of the Texas Rangers media guide from the morning show?
If.
That's the Dallas Cowboys version of the offensive line.
Yeah.
If Steele. If
BB continues to progress, yeah.
If.
Yep.
That's the Rangers for the Cowboys O-line, in my opinion.
All right, on to the defensive side of the ball. So the only low need right now at this point is tight end on offense. Let's look at the defensive side of the ball. Safety. How would you look at the safety position, which is right now Malik Hooker, Donovan Wilson, Marquise Bell, and Wanya Thomas?
You know, I want to say high from a name standpoint, it's high. Where are we with NFL importance on the safety position?
Yeah.
Because I feel like when I evaluate the safety, I'm like, I never notice any of those guys. Sometimes Donovan Wilson's hustle. But then I'm not saying, oh my God, this is a hole.
I feel like that's the case with safety, unless they're like an Ed Reed ball hawk. You know, like if they're just steady, you know, kind of like secondary umpire. Linebackers, it's like you don't really notice them the same. Plus, they're out of the picture half the time.
Yeah, I mean, ball screen. Hawking or the way, depending on how they make plays up in the box and, you know, when they come up into the front seven. And look, Matt Eberflus, typically their safeties have kind of played interchangeably. It's not like a standard free safety, strong safety setup. So, I mean, you're going to need guys with some multiple, you know, they're going to need to be able to do some stuff in coverage and need to come up and run support. So you're going to need all-around players here. They have it listed as moderate. Right now they've got their two starters, Donovan Wilson and Malik Hooker, and then Wanya Thomas and Marquise Bell are both big-time special teams guys, but you don't know what they contribute defensively yet. Cornerback.
It's moderate with a 7 on the stove. If you want to tell me it's high, fine. There's a lot of people saying don't count on Diggs for anything this year. Right. That you're not going to be able to count on Diggs. So you got Bland, you got Kair, no J-Lew.
No, maybe no Diggs to start the year.
Yeah, he just said that.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying maybe no Diggs to start the year.
Thank you, Chappie.
I heard.
Well, you're apparently not well.
No, I did.
Well, then you would have said that. Repeated me.
Moderately high. Yeah, I think it's high. I think it's such a position of importance.
You got Kalen Carson, though. That's a good thing. They say high. They say losing Jordan Lewis was a tough blow, and the uncertainty regarding Trayvon Diggs' timeline to return from injury doesn't help the secondary. Outside of Jerron Bland, there isn't much on the roster to make the Cowboys feel secure.
And what was safety, moderate or high?
Moderate for safety. Linebacker.
They addressed it. We got bodies.
They did get their bodies. They got Jack Sanborn. They got Kenneth Murray. And so...
below moderate.
Low. Yep. They've got it listed as low right now. Hey, there's still a lot of questions there, though. Like, yeah. You obviously have warm bodies right now.
See, these are the double-sided Dallas, the free agency approach. The Cowboys view it as... You know what? We're just gonna fill the pothole. Mm. Other teams are like, we're resurfacing the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I got a lot of foundation cracks in my house.
Well,
opposite a well.
Yeah.
And they come in and they're like, just put the paint over the crack. You know, you don't see it.
But yeah, like what your mom asked you to do yesterday. Just paint over the mold.
Yeah.
Don't actually.
Yeah.
Like,
don't destroy the wall. Yeah.
I asked her. I was like, Mom, are you sure that you've had this leak fixed? She goes, it hasn't leaked in a year. I was like, that was not the question.
Yeah.
At all.
There's there's filling it and fixing it. And the Cowboys always seem like they just want to fill it. They just want to be able to go to draft and say, we don't have to have this. Well, that doesn't mean you just have to fill it. You can upgrade it. You can fix it.
Yeah.
And it feels like at linebacker, they've just tried to fill it.
Yep. Defensive line.
I'm good. I'm excited. I'm that might be my most.
We're incorporating defensive tackle here as well, not just on the defensive ends.
Yeah.
So you feel good about that one.
I think defensive line, let me think about this before I say it. Defensive line is the strongest position group on the team. And I don't even think it's close. I don't even think there's actually a debate.
Chop?
Is that a hot take?
Well, I mean, no, they've got.
I think it's probably not.
They've got two really good players in the defensive line. And then they've got a really good
bargain. Who's the second one?
Osa.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they have a bargain in Fowler.
They have this one listed.
And they got a great character guy. Already cemented on the all-interview team for the 2024 Dallas Cowboys is Solomon Thomas. He's already going to be the go-to in the locker room.
They have this one listed as high.
What?
They say you can never have too many pass rushers, but the Cowboys are solid on the edge with Micah Parsons, Sam Williams, Marshawn Nealon, Dante Fowler, and Peyton Turner.
Oh, God, I forgot about Sam Williams.
Well, and here's the deal. Sam Williams and Peyton Turner, those are two guys that you're probably going to count on to be rotational guys. I looked this up the other day. You know that they've both been in the league. Sam Williams 3 years now, Peyton Turner 4. Neither one of them have ever started a game in their career. It's never happened. They lose. You know, maybe they could potentially bring back Carl Lawson. That one has still not been settled yet. Defensive tackle is where the need level skyrockets. They've got Osa Odighizuwa, but behind that, they've got Mazi Smith, who you're still wondering about. You've got Solomon Thomas, who good story, decent player. But, like, are you going to consistently be able to lean on him, especially if Osa is going to be playing the three technique, which is the more pass rushing, get up the field defensive tackle. And behind that, it's not a lot. You have Justin Rogers, your seventh round pick from last year, but they have really no sort of defensive tackle presence right now that you feel super strong about as a unit.
By the way, Solomon Thomas already delivering with the quotes. Recently played with the Jets. John Machota transcribing. Their D-line coach was Aaron Whitecotton, now DL coach in Dallas. Solomon said, quote, "When I saw Coach Whitecotton signing with the Cowboys, I was super excited. I was like, dang, this may be a chance for me to play at home, to play under Whitecotton another year, to make everything aligned. I was manifesting it right away when I saw that happen. I was like, I want to be a Dallas Cowboy. I want to come home. I don't want to have to move anymore. This is where I want to play. This is where I want to win. Whitecotton is a coach I want to play for. I've played my best football under him. He instills confidence in me. He brings the best out of me. He's a guy who lets his players play the way they need to play their best football. It's what I wanted. By the grace of God, it worked out. I'm just super happy to be here."
They are very excited about Aaron Whitecotton in that building. They're really excited about what he can bring to the table as a defensive line coach. And then finally there, special teams. Your need there is left. That's where you're strong. It's not your defensive line. It's your special team. Where you got the long snapper, the punter, the kicker. Your whole battery is set. You got superstars. It's they're good there. So they're low need there. They've got everybody re-signed that they need to. But that basically says that all the position groups other than tight end and linebacker are of at least a moderate need right now for the Cowboys. And they're past the first wave of free agency and don't have a fourth round pick.
Inside the Star with our insider Bobby Roberto Belt during the commercial free expressway. Calvin Watkins, who wrote the Micah Parsons article yesterday, will join us at 8 o'clock. Right now, let's hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on.
That's right, Tolos. Right now, 877-881-1053 wins four tickets to see the PBR World Finals at AT&T Stadium from Friday, May 16th through Sunday, the 18th. That's caller number 10, 877-881-1053. Again, Tolos, right now, 877-881-1053 wins four tickets to see the PBR World Finals at AT&T Stadium from Friday, May 16th through Sunday, the 18th. That's caller number 10, 877-881-1053.
It will be a Dallas Stars version of a Meet Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman inside the Stars locker room, 8:20 this morning. Let's chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
Oh, man, more stuff about the Kennedy assassination keeps trickling out. Sean Sharif, Bobby Belt, and now, so I talked about that guy named Gary Underhill at 6:40. He was the CIA, asset, if you will, that was killed 6 months later, found, you know, shot dead in his house. They called it a suicide, although there were some questions about it because he was a righty, but the bullet was behind his left ear, which they say doesn't usually happen that way. But there are more details that are coming out about this and about Oswald and other stuff about how the KGB was trying to figure out if he actually was a KGB informant, a CIA operative. They were trying to look in detail into him. This is all stuff that has come out through the Warren Commission, and how he was a terrible shot when he did target practice. But also, they say he had a stormy relationship with his Soviet wife who rode him incessantly.
Whoa.
So. That was in
good for him.
That was in the Warren Commission report. But another thing that has come out,
wrote him like nagged him.
Yeah,
nagged him. How'd you like to be in the JFK report, just known as a nag? You're one of the original nags of society.
They're just trying to protect this poor woman with all the redactions over the years.
Yeah.
But this morning, Ross, do we have this? This is JFK's grandson, all right? This is his grandson who absolutely rips CNN and other anchors. I hope you bleep this if it needed to have bleeps for even covering this.
You're better than this. This is so fucking stupid. There's so much actual news going on. Why are you covering this? At least report that something happened. I love you, Harry Anton. You're really smart. Why are you guys covering this? I love you, Aaron Burnett. You're really smart. Why are you covering this? Why are you covering this? Stop. This is why this takes hold, because you guys f***ing cover it over and over and over again.
Shut up. Why are you out of breath? Answer that question first.
Yeah.
Stop and talk.
Why are you a Kennedy using earbuds that still have a cord? Can you not afford AirPods?
That was the thing. Wasn't his? Is his last name even Kennedy?
It's Schlossberg.
Yeah, that's not.
That's not a Kennedy.
No.
He's a Kennedy.
Hell no.
Why would you not want to know?
Yeah.
If you're related
President
to him.
President Trump released it because of the thirst that we all have for it.
We do have thirst for it. I don't know why you wouldn't want to know. Gen Z is back to their old tricks. They are revenge quitting jobs as payback for employers for alleged unfair treatment, and they're causing chaos at work. And these 20-somethings are just getting out when it gets tough on the job. It's very, you know, very Gen Z. But they are doing it in a way that people are like, guys, you're never going to get another job again, because your next employer is going to call your previous employer and ask. And the lasting response and memory they will have of you is that you made a cake that said, I quit. And, you know, they're like, this 2-week notice thing, that's gone.
We need to spend like 6 months in the real job world.
We do. We really
just to see what it's like.
Yeah, we really have no fear.
I'm referencing back, a college internship.
Yeah,
that's my last like office life.
Yeah,
Think about it.
Yeah.
What have we already asked about today? Can you just work 8 hours whenever you want, like, or is it 9 to 5, or can I do 7 to 3?
Like, my only references are my family.
Do you still give references? Do people still call for references? Like, we have no freaking idea.
We have no idea. Like, the only reference I have, Sarah has a job, but she's in sales. Like, sales is, like, it's a very mobile job. You're not, like, stuck at a desk. I have very few, my sister, you know, my sister's in HR. So she's like pretty.
Can you even give a family member? I wouldn't call a family member and ask about you and trust that.
I would not give a family member. No, I don't even know that would even
work. Well, your family, your sister would definitely not get you the job.
But like, you know, she'll come here and she'll just spend a week here and she'll just work remotely.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like she's not even giving time off or using time off. She's still working, but it's like at all hours of the day. Oh, you want to go to lunch? You go to lunch. It's very, very fluid.
Yeah.
But they are revenge quitting. And that brought to one girl in Australia up and quit a nearly $2,000 a week job. And she said the mental health was not worth the $2,000 a week job. It was really $1,800 a week. So it was like $95,000 almost that she was pulling in. And she just ups and quits with nothing. She goes, I have 6 weeks. I have 6 weeks of money saved up to pay my bills, so I need to find something in the next 6 weeks.
So what was the problem? What was
it? It was just, you know, stress, right? Stress of the job. But the fact that people nowadays, they are just quitting jobs with nothing lined up.
No parachutes. Yeah.
God bless you. I have no idea how you do that. I tell you, you do it without kids. That's what you do it without.
Yes.
You definitely do not have children. Chopping it up here on 105 through the fan. Bobby, do you have a Gmail account?
I do.
Do you have an Outlook? Use Outlook.
I do.
Wait, Outlook is Hotmail?
I don't know. Outlook is Hotmail.
Yeah, whenever I say Hotmail, it's like, it's a little embarrassing.
Juno.com.
When people are like, all right, what's your email? No, you have to give it out. I'm like, Hotmail.
The FBI has issued a warning regarding this Medusa software. It's a ransomware. What is ransomware?
Ransomware is basically, it is like an infection or a file that's infected, and they basically hold you ransom, like, we'll give you back access to your stuff if you pay a ransom, which a lot of companies end up paying the ransom.
They do?
Yep.
So they're breaking into these accounts, these Gmail and Outlook accounts, and finding a way to get passwords, and, you know, they're just kind of stealing your money. And they send you an email, and it looks legitimate, but it's one of these things that catches, I'm scared to death of my kids. My kids constantly send me stuff that they think is real, you know, they're really into the chain letters now. They're still buying these chain letters. Like, oh, if you don't do this, if you don't send this to 10 people, you're going to have bad luck for the rest of your life.
Has that existed for 20 years? Like, the last time I remember a chain letter in my inbox was, like, 2002.
My son sent me one the other day. He goes, I'm going to get 100 emojis if I send this to 12 people. I'm like, it's not.
What does that mean?
Like, it's what? The 100
different emojis?
100 new emojis.
Oh.
To use. Like, there's skins in a Fortnite account.
I feel like even though password difficulty has increased, the passwords in this building, we could have launched the codes to bring home the astronauts yesterday with what the hell they have us typing in here for our codes. But I feel like there's been a 2-month run where people I know are getting hacked more often than ever.
Yeah.
The hacks are going up.
They are. I think they are going up. So just keep an eye on that. It's random emails, and they will call you if they don't get a response.
Slater got locked out at Super Bowl. She got her Twitter taken from her, and she was a meme coin and selling.
Chuck Cooperstein.
Yeah. Coop lost his Twitter account. I mean, he had to go back.
Nico shut that down.
He's just a green C on his Twitter account. I saw this, and this was a poll question on TV, and this also has made its way around, but this woman went kind of viral for questioning the way her husband or boyfriend does laundry.
Ooh.
Okay. So
how do you do laundry, Bobby?
I watch Kristen put it in the washing machine.
All right.
It's a spectator sport.
I knew that was coming.
So do you use liquid or powder detergent?
I set Bobby up for that because I didn't want to say it myself.
You really don't know.
I don't.
Okay.
That's not on our.
It's not on your. It's not your. That's not your job.
It's not our.
It's not your job.
I know we use liquid. I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
I think we have the little pouches.
Okay. That's fine.
I think.
Do you know when she uses the liquid, does she pour the detergent into the cap or just pour it directly onto? And then what does she do with the cap after she pours it in?
So she's got it like up on a ledge above the thing. And so it's just a push button. And so she just dispenses it straight off of there and then pushes it back on the top.
So straight into. Okay. Yep. So this girl really kind of went at her boyfriend and threw him, you know, under the bus online, because with this post, you know, she said that he would put the detergent into the cap, you know, to get to the line.
Yeah.
And then pour it in and then put the cap into the washing machine. The cap now has all the detergent on it. He would put the cap in the washing machine.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
And the plastic cap?
The plastic cap.
And wash with that in there?
Yeah. And wash with that in there.
It gets all the remaining residue out of the cap. It's just a lot of people do it. They just toss it in there.
Really?
Yeah.
So
wow.
She got like killed.
How do you guys do medicine, by the way, like cough syrup? Do you always
with Sprite and a Jolly Rancher?
Pour it into like the cap, or you chug it out of the bottle?
I pour in the cap and then I just rinse the cap out.
Okay, so why wouldn't you just rinse the laundry?
Well, because you're not necessarily right. A lot of people don't have a sink in their washing machine, laundry room, right?
Sorry about you.
Yeah, but also even if you do, it's still like it's soap. It's not easiest thing to get off.
Right.
So a lot of people are like, no, man, that's what you do. You do it. So poll questions were out there, and 44% of people put the detergent in the cap and then just put the cap on the sink in the shelf. They don't even rinse the cap. It's got all this residue.
Yeah,
it seems disgusting.
Why don't you just put it back on the laundry? The handle.
Because it has the residue on it now.
So?
Well, it gets all coagulated and gooey.
When I was between,
no, I pour the liquid into the cap. I pour the cap into the laundry.
And then you put
I put the cap back on the bottle.
Right, but then the cap has like all the remnants.
The residue of what? It's just
detergent.
It's the liquid.
It just gets
Nothing there's no like cloth or fibers or spiders getting into that cap by the time I pour the liquid in, throw it into the load, and put it back on the top.
It just gets gooey. It just gets gooey.
Well, and I also think people are saying, like, if I fill it up to the fill line and then I don't get every little bit, have I put the requisite amount of soap in my... When I was between moms, like when my mom died and before I got married.
Between moms.
And I was forced...
That is an all-time line.
And I was forced to do my laundry like a peasant. I wouldn't do either. I would take the cap, I'd pour it in, and then I'd just start running the water, and I'd just like basically rinse it and dump it, and then I'd put it back on.
I used to do that. Now the wash machine we have, I guess, doesn't do that anymore. It just it doesn't like start the water. So I just throw the cap in. We just throw the cap in with everything else. Chopping it up here at 105 through the fan. our boy Luigi, or your boy Luigi, however you want to say it.
Your boy Luigi.
Mario. He is trying to get out of this on a technicality. He says cops illegally obtained his DNA. They gave him food and a soda at the police station the day of his arrest and got his DNA that way. He is trying to argue in court that they illegally obtained his DNA to get off on a technicality. I love a good technicality.
Imagine what this guy's DMs could look like.
Oh, my God.
One of my favorite shows, Friday night, Love After Lockup. Shout out Kevin in Arlington. Man, if you could just do a... I mean, I'm sure they haven't granted the film access, like Gypsy Rose coming out of jail and all that. But imagine what his DMs look like. If he's on social media, well, we should ask, who was it in the station who followed him right after that?
It was Chris Strong.
Chris Strong.
And then he moved to Portland, I think, to go join the resistance or something.
Mysteriously. So... Watch, something will happen.
Something will happen with him. So Luigi is known
for his... we have it on video, we think.
We have it on video, yeah. He's just trying to get off on a technicality. Which, look, I support the technicality aspect of it. We kind of got you nailed here, man.
They didn't need to trick him for his DNA.
No.
I'm sure he sheds layers of those eyebrows. They could have just gone over to the counter at McDonald's and picked one up.
Speaking of eyebrows, I'm glad you brought that up. The latest male fashion trend.
Oh, I thought you were going to bring up Anthony Davis playing golf in Plano yesterday. Thought he had an abductor.
Was that a cigarette in his mouth?
No, it was cigar. A huge cigar.
Was? Okay. I mean, Nico's going to trade him for sure. Cigars playing golf.
That's right.
Nico's going to trade him for sure. But speaking of eyebrows, the latest man's fashion trend is shaving your eyelashes. Eyelashes are unmanly, and you have people at the barber closing their eyes just getting all their eyelashes shaved off. That's weird to me. I'm sorry.
So my dad is 90 years old. This man goes to work every single day with his practice still. Still pretty sharp as a tack. The one thing bringing him down is his eyelashes. He has an eyelash problem. Like, they're getting in the eye. They're irritating him. I have this blackmail video. He overnight Amazon this eyelash women's device. I have him and Amanda sitting on my couch. She's trying to get the eyelashes out of his eye.
Where he's clipping them like that and folding them up?
Yeah, folding them up. Amazing. I got that video.
Does he heat them up with the blow dryer
first? I don't know. I stayed out of it like the laundry. but it's shutting him down. It is shutting him down. Eye patches and having to ice it, but I don't notice anyone's eyelashes.
I don't either.
Like, I'm looking at yours right now. It looks like I'm really looking you in the eyes. It's a good way to go ahead and make contact with someone.
It really
is. I can't tell. Like, if you're looking at my eyelashes and I'm looking at yours, I'm about to kiss you.
I know.
Like, Bobby looks like he's got a lot of eyelashes. I don't know.
No, I do have eyelashes. Kristen and
I've heard you have them.
I have good ones, Chop. Kristen and other girls I've heard complain about this. I was like, guys just have such nice eyelashes. Like, we can't get them naturally.
All I've heard is, like, eyelash envy.
Yeah.
Not eyelash hate.
No, now the guys want to clip them off.
Chopping it up here on DFW Sports Station, Commercial Free Expressway, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. We got Ross and Aiden running things in the back with Pepe out in Boston. Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News, started up. Do the Cowboys have a Micah Parsons problem? Calvin joins us live on Sean and RJ next.